Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you, Nancy. That was spectacular. You did forget to mention that I was once a notary public. Thought maybe we should get that in there somewhere. Now, that was awfully nice. That was awesome. Although I must admit, I'm not as impressed with good introductions as I once was. You see, I've learned over the years that a good introduction does not necessarily mean that you've got a good speaker. All you really can be sure of is that you've got a good MC or a good host making the introduction. I was asked to speak to a group of college students down in South Texas. This was back shortly after the release of the original Benji, and it was a big success, and I was fairly full of myself, so I accepted and went down on the day of the speech, only to discover that the chairman of the film department, who had invited me down and who was supposed to introduce me, had been called out of town due to an illness in the family. I was told that a student would make the introduction. And sure enough, it came time for the talk, and this gangly young man from South Texas sauntered up to the podium, pulled out a single 3x5 card, and says, "It says here our speaker needs no introduction. If that ain't true, we're in a heck of a fix, because I never heard of him before." Clearly, the young man did not understand that part of what an introduction is supposed to do is to make the speaker feel comfortable, make him feel welcome and at home. And Nancy certainly understood that, and I do appreciate it very much. I am glad to be here tonight, and I am glad to see all of you. I do realize, of course, that it is customary for speakers to be glad to see whoever it is that they might be speaking to. But there is special meaning in those words tonight. Because, you see, I left home almost a week ago and flew from California over to Atlanta for a television interview, and that afternoon got on a plane to New York for a business meeting that night, and another business meeting the next morning before I got on a plane to Paris, where we were negotiating the deal for the French distribution of our last movie. And then that very same night, I was back on a plane over to Chicago for another business meeting and an interview with my old friend Steve Dale, then back on a plane back out to Valley Center, California, where I got to spend an afternoon and an evening with Kathleen and the family, and picked up Benji here to fly back to Dallas the next morning at 6 a.m. for a meeting with our PR associate in Dallas, and over here last night so I could be here with you tonight. Now, I tell you this only so that you might understand that when you're living like that, on a schedule like that, and you say, "I'm glad to see you," well, it just has that extra ring of sincerity that comes from being glad you're able to see anything. Just see. But I am glad to be here, and even though we only arrived last night, I want you to know that I already feel just like one of you. I don't know, of course, which one of you it is, but whoever it is should go to his room and rest. As I understand our dilemma here tonight, I'm here to talk and you're here to listen. I just want to say up front that if you get through before I do, just hold up your hand. Nancy told me that your conference was going to be built around the theme, Dare to Dream. "We need something inspirational," she said, "something motivational, something designed to get these folks excited about what they're doing in life." Well, I don't think we need to take up much time on that, because you have already displayed that you have a good handle on what it takes to motivate yourselves to success by just being here, by attending conferences like this. Most men, you know, are self-made men. Most women are too. But did you ever notice that only the successful ones admit it? Did you ever see a failure stand up in front of the group and say, "I am a self-made failure"? Now, chances are, he or she is, but they don't talk about that. Shakespeare said, "The fault, dear Brutus, lies not in our stars, but in ourselves, that we are underlings." And that's a fortunate thing, because it means that if you're not satisfied with the progress you're making, the person you always need to see about it is readily available. Maybe you remember the story of the prodigal son who sank down, down, down until he was literally eating husks with the swine. And then one day he did a little self-diagnosis and he said, "I will arise." And that was the day. There was no miracle. Things got better for him immediately. And all he did was just get up off of it. That's all. And it's clear to me that you have already made that decision to arise, and you're following the only sure course to achieving that objective. You're out gathering knowledge for improvement of yourselves and your craft. And I'm excited about that. I am pumped because, you see, I believe there's still hope that the human spirit can rise above the doom and gloom into which it seems perpetually born. I believe the unknown, the uncelebrated, can still mount a white horse and charge off into the distance and make their lives extraordinary. Yes, even in spite of all those folks who are so quick to say, "You can't do that. That's impossible. Give up. Quit. Shut up. Sit down. Go away. If it could be done, somebody would have done it already." You know, I reach for words but find it impossible to describe the feeling of being able to show up on a street corner, virtually anywhere in the free world, say a single word, and see eyes light up with so much love and affection. To have been able to pass through this life and leave behind something that makes people feel so good keeps me forever aware that it was a worthwhile trip. Even today, I'm still in awe of Benji's success. I think I understand it intellectually, but emotionally, I find it all terribly hard to believe. Yet here I am, the ordinary but unqualified proof that you can make your life extraordinary. The warranty that you can accomplish whatever it is in the world you want to accomplish, no matter how impossible it might seem, and all you have to do is make a few simple choices. I made these same choices early on, and I'm still mystified that it's true that they work, but it is. You can make your life extraordinary. You can truly change the world and change it for the better. I'm testimony to the fact that the unexpected can still happen, that the dark horse, the underdog, can still win, even in the face of great adversity, that a small-time advertising guy from Ole Miss can turn a silly, floppy-eared notion of an idea into a worldwide phenomenon that brings joy and happiness to the hearts of millions, and at the same time instills values like hope and love and persistence toward a goal and putting others before yourself. And we're going to talk about all that, but I hope you'll forgive me if along the way I try to stir a fire here and there. Because I get very excited anytime I'm asked to speak to a group of people like yourselves, media people. Because that gives me an incredible opportunity to not only make a difference in your lives with the opportunity that you have to make your lives extraordinary, but to get you excited about spreading that word even further. Kenneth MacFarlane did a study some years back for General Motors on aura of influence. And he found that in 1 week's time, the average American has the opportunity to influence almost 100 people. Think about it. If the figure for the average American, and that takes everybody into account, is 100 people that he or she could influence in a week, what must it be for you or for me? Think of the difference we can make if we only choose to do so. Dare to dream. Have you ever thought about this? A person without a dream can never have a dream come true. What a horrible way to live that would be. Why would anyone not want to have a dream? Perhaps because to pursue a dream means to commit to something. And most dreams seem to be unreachable, impossible. That's why we call them dreams. And most folks are afraid of failure. But I've found and hope to prove to you tonight that the difference between making impossible things happen and making nothing happen at all is no more than the strength of the desire, "I will attack everything I do with passion." The commitment to persistence, "I will not now nor never give up." And I will eliminate the word failure from my vocabulary and from my life. Andy Andrews tells the story of the Aborigine tribes in Australia. Many of them, you know, are known as rainmakers. And the planters rely on them when dry conditions prevail. And some tribes have gotten to be really pretty good at it. Some are so-so. But the word began to spread around that there was this one tribe that always made rain. This group was 100% successful. They never failed. One of the big planners became very intrigued with this, and he set out to find this tribe and to discover their secret. And he did find them, and he got an audience with the tribal king, and he asked him, "Is it true? I hear that you never fail to make rain, that you are 100%. Is that true?" "Absolutely," the king replied. "We never fail." "How do you do that?" the planter asked. The king looked at him for a long moment and finally said, "We don't quit until it rains." I love that story. No wonder he was king. He had it wired. I mean, you can never fail until you quit. Think about that. Seriously, just as a concept, you can never fail until you quit. What that means is all you have to do to not fail is to not quit. That has got to make you feel fantastic. Failure is a thing of the past in your life. Done, gone. No more. Not a worry. Because you are the boss of you. You are in control of you. And you are not going to quit. Ever. Now that's exciting news. I could stop right there, because if you grasp that concept and commit to it, you are now prepared to dare to dream and become one of those folks who have their dreams come true.